Well, it's good to be back Wednesday night. This is the fourth night I'm going to be speaking about identification from E.W. Kenyon's book, Identification. And this is the final one, so we're going to wrap it up here tonight. Are you ready?
Yes.
Amen. So we are not called to be just mere men and women, are we?
No.
We are God men, God women. And we've been discussing what it's like to be a normal Christian. Amen? Everything that we've been talking about is normal Christianity.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
You are God created, God indwelt, God empowered, and God guided. You want to say that with me? Say, I am God created, God indwelt,
God empowered,
and God guided. Amen. If you are, then you are confident in your righteousness through Christ. You are free from every weight of past sins. You're full of God's ability, His wisdom, and His love. You're proficient in the use of His authority. Amen. I had a vision of the Lord. He appeared to me one day here in this sanctuary, and I came up here and I laid down on the stage, and my feet were just hanging over the steps, and I saw the Lord walk up to me, and He got down on one knee, and He put His hand on my chest as I was laying here, and He prayed over me. And in that prayer, He said, Father, I pray that He would know how much we love Him. I think that's the most important thing we need to know, is we need to know that we are loved by God.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Kevin, would you turn the lights up just a little, please? Thank you. We need to know that we are loved by God. The second thing Jesus prayed is that I would know what my calling is. God has a call and purpose for you, and He wants you to know what that is. He wants you to discover it and learn it and be apt in it. Amen? And the last thing He said is, Father, I pray that He would know how much power is available to Him through us. That's amazing. There's a lot of power available to us through Jesus and through the Father. And we need to know how much is available to us. And we need to know our authority in Jesus Christ so that we can use that power both to further the kingdom of God and to enjoy life.
Amen?
Amen? We are masters of every demon and disease.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we are bold to enter into the throne room of God. We are not afraid to be in the presence of God. It is natural for us. It is normal. In order to really operate as this kind of a Christian, this normal Christian, we need to have revelation that Jesus is our substitute. Present tense. He died for us, and all that He did on the cross is still vital to what we do today. Amen? We are redeemed from poverty, sickness, and the sin nature. Number three, we are righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. There are to be no effects of sin working in our life. Anything that came in as a result of the fall, that came into the world, does not have to operate in your life. Because you have the nature of God in you. Amen? We are Satan's master. There is no fear. No fear. We are called and empowered to bear the fruit of righteousness. Number six, it is our privilege and duty to release the God-man that's inside of us. And number seven, being the masters of your circumstances is normal. A little bit of review of what we did last week. We talked about God's nature in you. You've got God in you. There are to be no effects of sin operating in your life. 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on a tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. When it says we have died to sins, that means we put away sins. We put away the sin nature. We put away all the effects of sin. You're dead to it. You died on the cross with Christ. You suffered with Him. You were resurrected with Him. You reign with Him. Amen?
Yes.
We died to the dominion of sin. We died to the dominion of disease. We died to the dominion of any circumstance or any habit. We died to the dominion of condemnation. We died to the dominion of defeat and depression. We died to the dominion of fear.
Yes.
They cannot affect us.
Amen.
We also looked at the fact that we are the righteousness of God. Righteousness means there is no trace of sin.
Amen.
No trace of sin. No trace of disease. No trace of poverty. This is what it is to be normal. Amen? This is what it means to be normal. We are able to enter into the presence of God without any sense of sin, guilt, inferiority. We can walk into His throne as if sin had never touched us. That's how we live. That's how we think. That's how we act. That's how we are. That's who we are. I pulled out my driver's license and I said, this is my state of Florida identification. Well, this is your identification. It's in Christ Jesus. Amen. And when God looks at you, He sees a picture of Jesus, the righteousness of God. No disease, no sickness, no fear, no condemnation, no guilt, no inferiority. This is how Jesus lives. This is how we're called to live. Amen. Amen. There's no effects as if it never happened. Amen. If you had sin in your life and you repented, it's forgiven.
Hallelujah.
Now you can act as if it never happened. There is a story of a lady. She had a vision of Jesus, and when she asked Jesus about sin, He said, you know, I honestly can't remember. He has forgotten your sin as far as the east is from the west. He does not think about any sin that ever happened in your life. He sees you as the righteousness of God, and He sees you taking advantage of every right, privilege, and honor to be one of His sons and daughters. Amen? That's what He sees us as. We were crucified with Him. We died with Him. We were buried with Him. We suffered with Him. We were justified with Him. We were made alive with Him. We conquered Satan with Him. We were raised together with Him. We reign with Him. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. We have the name of Jesus. There's no fear in the presence of Satan, any evil, and in every disease. We are conquerors. We are not afraid. There is no fear whatsoever. In fact, it's utter fearlessness. You like that? Utter fearlessness. Amen? Tonight I'm going to get into some new information. But last week we started off on point number 5, and I just covered a couple of the topics within point number 5. Number 5 is we are called to bear fruit, not just some fruit. We are called to bear how much fruit?
Much
fruit. Amen. This is John 5:15. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We are called to bear the fruit of righteousness. I was thinking about this, and sometimes in this message, talking about authority, I've maybe a little overemphasized the fact that we have authority over all the things of evil. But we don't have just authority over the things that are evil. We have the authority to create. We have the authority to be God to this world. We're His representatives, are we not? So we have the authority to declare things. We have the authority to create things. We have the authority to speak things into being in the name of Jesus. So instead of just focusing on what we have authority that we can remedy, let's focus on the things that we can create. You know, back in Genesis, when God looked out and He saw the earth was dark and without form and without void, He said, sure is dark. No, He didn't. He said, let there be light. And it was. So instead of looking at the darkness, speak life. Speak light. Start decreeing things. Start speaking things. Start telling your boss, you're going to see a change around here because I'm declaring things to change. You need more sales? We're having more sales because I'm declaring it in the name of Jesus. In your family, there's turmoil. There's things going on. There's chaos. You start speaking life. And you say, instead of just focusing on the evil and trying to run that off, start speaking the life of God into it. Start declaring and creating the power of words, the power of God's word is in us. This is the same words that God used to create everything that we can see, hear, touch, taste, and smell. And that same creative force is within us to be able to do that. I was giving 6 different points talking about how to bear fruit of righteousness. And number 1 was God's nature is in you. Number 2 was God's word is in you. And I just said that. You've got the power of God. You've got God in you. Not when God said, greater is he that is in you. Who's he talking about? He's talking about himself, the Holy Spirit. He's in you. You don't have to say, God, show up, please. He said, I'm already here. I'm in you. You've got him. He's here for you. What do you need? Do something. And I mean that in a good way. Let's do something. Let's do some things. Let's take lands. Let's conquer things. Number 3. You have the name of Jesus. It's not a name that we use just to rectify things or to make things right, but we also have the name to create. We have the authority to use his name. We can take lands. We can take buildings. We can take property. We can take families. We can declare things to be in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen? We have the ability to command the forces of darkness to become obedient to the authority of the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I don't want to slight that. You have authority over the devil. You do. And you should take authority and remedy every situation you see that doesn't line up with the word of God. When you have authority in that situation, take it. That's your right and duty to do that. Number 4, God in you. We talked about this, the Holy Spirit. God himself is in you. Now I want to start on number 5 under this point, and it is the fact that you are the righteousness of God. You know, we say that all the time, we think that all the time, and it's become a doctrine. But is it really a reality to you? We need to allow these things that we've taught over the last 3 Wednesdays and tonight to not just be doctrine in our lives, but be a reality. You need to be able to look in the mirror and say, sickness, you will not have part in my body.
Yes.
You need to be able to speak over your family and say, rebellion, I will not have you in my home.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 5:21, for him who knew no sin, he was made sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. This is who we are. How dare the devil touch the righteousness of God?
Amen.
2 Corinthians 9:10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed that you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. We're supposed to have fruit of being righteous. We are called to have fruit, to bear fruit of being righteousness. We know that righteousness is the ability to just come right into the Father's presence without any condemnation. We have the legal right to use the name of Jesus. It gives us the ability to stand in the presence of sickness and disease and all kinds of demonic forces without any fear. We are Satan's absolute master because we are the righteousness of God. Sin gave Satan dominion. Sin gave death dominion. But Jesus removed all the forces of sin in your life by going to a cross. And he didn't just go to a cross by himself. We went with him. We were with him on that cross. We have dominion over these as well in Christ Jesus. In the King James Version, 1 John 2:29 says, "If ye knew that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." The New King James says, "practices righteousness." What does it mean to be a doer of righteousness? What does it mean to practice righteousness? We always thought that, or we always, I think a lot of times you want to put righteousness in a box of conduct. It doesn't exclude that, but there's much more to being the righteousness of God than just good conduct. The person who does righteousness is the person who heals the sick. The person who does righteousness is the person that prays heaven down, as Kenneth Hagin used to say. The one that goes into the throne room of God and gets prayers answered for individuals, for countries. Amen? When we're praying in tongues, I was thinking of this the other day. When in the having been in Slovenia, you know how in Spanish you conjugate words in different ways? In Slovenia, they conjugate words, but in, verbs, but instead of just being six options, they have 18 options of how to conjugate a verb. It's very confusing to a person who's never learned the language. But you have to know, are you talking about one person or two people? Are you talking about a man and a woman? Are you talking about two men? Are you talking about a married man and a single man? All of these things play into. And you just by saying one word, they know exactly how many people you're talking to and what they and who they are. Just with one word. So I wonder if our tongues can be multiplied. You're not praying for just one situation, but multiple situations in tongues at one time. I certainly wouldn't limit God to being single,
yes,
focused
on anything.
I believe God's, when I pray in tongues, I may be praying over 15 nations at one time. I may be praying over a nation and a family. I may be praying over a work. I may be praying over all kinds of things in just that one occasion of praying in tongues. God is so able. God is so able. And God is so able to use you. Amen? And when we pray, when we heal the sick, when we win the lost, when we cast out demons, we are doing righteousness. This is doing righteousness. It's not about you just living right and avoiding sin. It's about setting the captives free.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
It's about creating God's presence where you are, bringing God in. This is doing righteousness. This is what we're called to do. This is the fruit that we are called to bear. Doing righteousness is doing the works that Jesus wrought.
Amen.
We're here in his place. If Jesus would have done it and we do it, we're doing the righteousness that we are called to do.
Yes.
Righteousness gives us the ability to stand in God's presence anytime, to stand there and declare things, to pray things, to call things into existence. You remember that Abraham, he called those things that be not as though they were. That's what we're called to do. That's the righteousness that God's wanting us to step into, to speak things into existence. Amen?
Amen.
He wants us to begin to live righteous, to practice righteous, and break every area of Satan's dominion, to speak with authority, just as Jesus did. Amen? Number six under this point is we have the wisdom of God. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. So you know something? Now put it into practice. God has called us not to just know that we are righteous, but to put it into practice. And we have his wisdom, his ability on how to do that. James 1, 5 through 8 talks about how we can ask God for wisdom. In the Weymouth's translation, it says this, And if any one of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask God for it. You need wisdom? Ask. Ask God for it. Who gives with open hand to all men and without upbraiding, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith and have no doubt, for he who has doubt is like a surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed into a spray. A person that of this sort must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a one, a man, is two-minded, undecided in every step that he takes. That's not us. That's not us. We know that we're the righteousness of God. We know that he wants us to have his wisdom. We know that he wants us to know his will. We can ask him and he will give it to us.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
You have the knowledge of the power of the authority of the word, don't you?
Yes.
You know that you have authority to use God's word.
Yes.
You know that you have a legal right to use the name of Jesus.
Yes.
You know that you have... God is actually in you.
Yes.
Yes.
How are you going to use these facts to bless humanity? Speak it. Do it. Be it. You are the righteousness of God everywhere you go. Amen?
Right.
You walk into a situation and they say, oh, I wish God was here. He is. He just arrived. He came with you. If only God's righteousness could operate in this moment. He can through you.
Yeah.
It's not only your legal right to operate as the righteousness of God, it's your calling to. It's your obligation to. It's love. We need to see the people out there as if we died for them. God wants you to know his love, not just his love for you, but his love for all of mankind, all of the world, all of his creation, everything that he has done. I want to move on to point, that was number six. Wisdom. Uh-huh. Okay, so I gave you seven things. We did five, and under point number five, we had 6 points. Now we're moving into point number six.
Yeah.
So we had six under five. Now we're doing number six that's not under five. Got it?
Yes. No, but that's okay. We're going.
When you have God's wisdom, it opens the door to limitless ministry. When you know how to use these things, when you know how to use righteousness, when you know how to heal the sick, when you know how to cast out devils, when you know how to call things that are not as though they were, when you know how to use faith, when you know how to tap into all the graces that God has given you, then your ministry becomes limitless. And as we finish up on the points tonight, what I want to focus on is the fact that we are called to be limitless. Limitless. There are no limits to tapping into what God has for us. We put the limits on, but he has no limits for us. It is out there. We can tap into things. You are called to be limitless. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, that you have come to need milk instead of solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is what? Unskilled in the word of righteousness. We've been talking about righteousness and who you are and how God is calling us to bear fruit of righteousness. So when you are skilled in righteousness, when you're skilled in the fact that you are the righteousness of God and that you have authority and that you can use the word of God and that you've got God in you to change your world, this, when you become skilled in righteousness, you're no longer a babe. Solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, by reason of use, has their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Yes.
Satan fears the message of righteousness more than any other. Because when you know and understand your authority, when you know and understand that all of your sins are forgiven, when you know and understand that you are the righteousness of God and there is no force of evil that can stand against you in the name of Jesus, you're limitless. You're limitless when you know this. Righteousness gives deliverance from the fear of Satan and all of his works. It gives a new sense of sonship. This son consciousness or daughter consciousness produces a heroic faith. A heroic faith. Not one that just uses faith as a parachute, but one that is rescuing others. A heroic faith. It takes away the sense of spiritual inferiority and utter destroys sin consciousness in us. We can walk before men just as Jesus did because we know that we are new creations. The old life has been utterly destroyed. We know that every sin we have ever committed has been remitted. We know that the sins that we committed since we were born again, ignorantly or otherwise, have been forgiven. And we stand in the presence of God just as Jesus did when he walked on the earth. He was not afraid to talk to God. He was not afraid to be with God. And neither are we. Neither are we. Satan seeks to keep us sin consciousness, to rob us of this son consciousness. The church is called to be free. It's called to be free from sin consciousness. Knowing that you are the righteousness of God will make you God conscious, son conscious, victor conscious, faith conscious, love conscious. Amen? Amen. This is who we're called to be. We are called to be limitless. Yes. We have a limitless faith. Limitless. There are no limits in God. Amen? Once we realize that we are God's sons, then we can begin to release the God-man that's inside of us. God is in you. God wants us to know his will. If we will search the word diligently and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, we'll begin to grow spiritually and develop. And we'll have if we constantly meditate on the word, we'll begin to have an unconscious consciousness of God in us. Those are E.W. Kenyon's words. An unconscious consciousness of God in us. You will begin to act like God and not even think about it. Amen. It'll become part of you when the word begins to get in you and is constantly going through you and constantly in you. When you're carrying around scriptures and memorizing them and reading your Bible and you're speaking the word, you're declaring the word, suddenly you'll become unconsciously acting like the righteousness of God. Amen? Amen? God has a will for our lives, and we can know that will. The church has too long lived in an inferiority complex in regret to sin.
Amen.
It has lived in the realm of sin consciousness and sense of unworthiness so long that God's word has little effect on it. God wants us to know his word. God wants us to know his will. When you know somebody, you know their will. God wants you to know him. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. When you know him, you'll know his will. He wants you to know him. That's his desire. He wants to reveal himself to you. It's not the knowledge of the senses, but it's a knowledge of Him. John 16:13, it says, however, when He, the Holy Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you of things to come. You have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is desiring to speak to you. I like Hebrews 1:1, where it says, God spoke to the prophets of old in various times, in various ways. In the times past, He spoke to the fathers by the prophets. In other words, God was always speaking in various ways, in various times. He loves to talk to us.
Yes.
He wants to talk to you. He wants to share good things with you. E.W. Kenyon said, I cannot see where there is any ground for us to live in weakness and failure and ignorance of the Father's will and of our place and standing in Christ and of our rights and privileges. There is no place for us to live in an ignorance of God's will and who we are in Christ. Amen. We are to know God's will. This is what it is to be normal. This is what it is to live limitless. Amen?
Yes.
We want to live without limits. The only limits we have are inside of us. And many of those are the devil just whispering in your ear. And you just say, no, devil.
Uh-huh.
And you speak God's word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you heal the sick.
Yes.
And you win the lost.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Now I'm going to move on to point number 7. This is the normal experience of a Christian, what we're describing. Just think of having every prayer answered. How exciting would that be? Just think being known as the one who gets prayers answered. People come to you and say, Jerry, please pray. I'll try it again. Please pray. Why? Because your prayers get answered. You have a reputation of knowing God. Think about having an unquenchable confidence in God. Oh, don't worry about it. God will come through. It'll happen. God will do it. It's okay. God will do it. I'm fully confident. I'm fully persuaded. And it becomes so common to you that you don't even think about it anymore. This is the confidence that we're called to have. Most Christians are dependent on other people's faith. They try to pray something, but it's mostly just repeating words. New Testament prayer is born of faith and is always answered. Your faith may be developed until it becomes a mighty force. We have a complete confidence in God. Romans 8:1, it says in the ASV, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 32:17 says, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effects of righteousness shall be quietness and confidence forever. In the ASV, it says, confidence forever. You like that?
Yeah.
Confidence forever. You're supposed to have a confidence in God. You know, people that are confident tend to walk straighter. They walk with their shoulders higher, their head up. They know who they are, what they're called to do. And when they walk into a room, there's like a spiritual light that just came in and it is drawn to them. God will turn the light on you. People will see you for the power that is in you. For no other reason, they'll recognize that there's something different about you. Why? Because you're confident. And the fact that you are the righteousness of God. But it comes with a peace. It's not something you strive for. It's effortless. You live in a perfect quietness and rest. The effect of righteousness in your heart is a new quietness, a new type of faith. You enjoy the effects of your confidence in the finished works of Christ. You know that you are master of your circumstances. You know that you are master of demons. You know that when you lay hands on the sick, they'll be healed. The realization of this truth gives you a sense of quietness, fullness of joy that you have never enjoyed before. When you know that you are the righteousness of God, when you are confident that God is in you, that God is with you, you have become a master where you served as a slave.
Yes.
You are a conqueror where you suffered defeat. You walk in the light where you once walked in darkness. And you enjoy your privileges in Christ. Amen? John 15:5 again, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. This fruit is both effortless and limitless. God has called you to bear much fruit, but he's called you to do it effortlessly and limitlessly. Amen? God is calling you to live in this consciousness as a son or as a daughter of God. We need to enjoy this consciousness in our life. The life comes from the vine, not from us.
Yes.
John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. Oh, what confidence in this verse. What confidence in this verse. Jesus said this.
Yes.
We can ask anything in his name and he will do it.
Yes.
He said it.
Yes.
That confidence growing in you. John 16:24, it says, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full.
Yes.
We don't want to leave that last part out, that your joy may be full. It's a joy to serve God. It is a joy to see his righteousness.
Yeah.
It's a joy to see lives changed. It's a joy to affect humanity. Amen?
Yeah.
We're not chasing the devil. He's chasing us.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
We're speaking life. We're creating things. James 1:22-25, it says, be ye doers of the word. But be doers of the word. Doers of the word. Doers of the word. What word? The word of righteousness. The word of grace. The word of faith. We just do it. We're constantly doing it. It's not something unusual in our lives. We're doing the word everywhere we go. We're seeing people's lives changed. We're taking authority when the devil comes and tries to throw a wrench in our lives.
Yes.
We're doing the word. We're not hearers only. We don't forget what kind of man we are, verse 24 says. Verse 25, but he who looks into this perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this is the one who will be blessed in what he does. 2 Peter 1, verse 8 and 9, it says, For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful. We are called to produce much fruit. So here's one of the hindrances that will keep you from producing fruit. And it says, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. He has forgotten that he is the righteousness of God. When you remind yourself that I am forgiven, that by His stripes I was healed, but that but when He went to the cross, I was made righteous. He became sin that I might be righteous. When you remind yourself that you're the righteousness of God, you will continue to live in the place that you're called to live. You won't be unfruitful. You'll bear much fruit. And it will be what? Effortless and limitless. You've become a doer of the word. You're not just a hearer. You're in Christ. You're an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You know that His words abide in you, and you produce results. You're a producer. You are not marking time any longer. You know what manner of man you are. You know that you are a new creation empowered by God. E.W. Kenyon told a story that he went in and looked at new cars, and this had to be somewhere around the 1930s. And he looked at a car, and the salesman said, "That's got 160 horsepower in it." I don't know if that's good or bad nowadays. Probably not that good. He says, "I bet that can climb hills." And the salesman said, "Huh, it laughs at mountains." Okay, let's get past the 160. Let's go back to this mountain thing. You got to get this. You are the righteousness of God. You laugh at mountains.
Yes.
You remember? Jesus said in Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, "Have faith in God. Speak to the mountain. You declare it to go, it'll go." You laugh at mountains. He went on to say that he saw some believers, and he said, "That man is empowered with God's ability. He laughs at mountains. He sings his song in triumph, and he goes over in high gear. He's not a subject or a slave. He has passed out of that class into the class of a master. He remembers in the morning what manner of man he is. He faces life with a song of victory. The word of Christ dwells in him richly. Christ is being formed in him." You're a master over all of your circumstances. Somewhere along the way, I did move into point seven. I hope you got that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every prayer is
answered. You are a master of every circumstance. You laugh at mountains. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it." What? Abounding in it with thanksgiving. We are called to live limitless. A group was in on tour in the redwoods of California, and the tour guide, he said, "In a few minutes, we'll be coming around the corner and we'll be entering into the redwood section, and you will see the giants of the vegetable world." So E.W. Kenyon heard this and he said softly, "I walked into a prayer meeting and I saw giants of the spiritual world."
Yeah.
I saw supermen. They have God dwelling in them. The word of God's rich on their lips. They love that relentless drive to see righteousness. They no longer walk as natural men. They belong to the love class, the miracle class. They are the men and women who have attained unto their unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and have become full-grown men.